Good morning, everyone. This is the Florida Caribe Show. I'm your host, Paola Baez.
And this is Jarena Jergi. We have a thought-provoking show today as we bring you important news stories from Latin America while showcasing a wonderful organization known as the Coalition for Immokalee Workers. Sylvia Perez and Marley Mohanan will speak about the great work that this organization does in our community. Let's start the show with some news stories.
You're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM Sarasota, WBPV 100.1 LPFM Bradenton.
So Pope Francis will travel to Mexico on February 12th to the 16th to do a pilgrimage from the south to the north of Mexico, mimicking the journey of many immigrants. Pope Francis stated that he will bring light to the drug war and corruption, which leads to many deaths and severe human rights abuses. He will visit La Basilica de Guadalupe in Mexico City, Ecatepec outside of Mexico City, Morelia and Chiapas, and La Ciudad Juarez. Morelia is in the state of Michoacán, one of the states with the highest rates of immigration to the United States due to the violent pseudo-religious gangs such as La Familia Michoacana and Knights Templar, which have murdered and kidnapped many rural priests. In addition, the Pope will visit San Cristóbal de las Casas in Chiapas. Chiapas is an impoverished state in the border of Guatemala, home to semi-autonomous indigenous communities and a high percentage of Protestant Pentecostalism in Mexico. For the first time, Mass will be held in an indigenous language and will feature Mayan traditions. Pope Francis will finish his journey in La Ciudad Juarez, a city once known for being one of the most dangerous cities in the world, and will use now is using community organizing to decrease crime and build community. The Pope will hold Mass in La Ciudad Juarez. The stage will be located 80 yards from the border fence of Mexico, where 200 people will be able to watch in Juarez, and 50,000 will watch in El Paso Sun Bowl Stadium in the United States. This move represents solidarity for the plight of many immigrants in Mexico and the United States. The church officials say that the relatives of 20,000 missing people have been invited, as well as the relatives of the 43 missing students from Ayotzinapa. The Pope may meet with a group of families that have been affected by the violence in Mexico. This comes after a difficult time of the Peña Nieto government, as regional elections will be held soon, and the government predicts that the Pope will condemn many actions of the Mexican government. Now, a Twitter campaign was started with hashtag Yo no quiero que venga el Papa, translating to I do not want the Pope to come. We leave you with some words from the Pope. He stated that I am going to Mexico as a pilgrim to seek the wealth of faith that you all have. However, he also said in an address to Mexico that you are living your little piece of war. He also stated the Mexico of violence, the Mexico of corruption, the Mexico of drug trafficking, the Mexico of cartels is not the Mexico that our mother, the Virgin Mary, wants. He added, I, of course, will not cover any of that up. To the contrary, I want to exhort you to fight every day against corruption, against trafficking, against war, disunity, and organized crime. Now we bring you another story from Cancun, Mexico. On February 4th, 2015, a Mexican judge issued a suspension of all construction to the Malecón Tajamar development in Cancun, Mexico. This comes after heavy protests from residents and activists citing 916 legal complaints against a project that will cause, quoted, the systematic destruction of the wetlands throughout the country. In addition, they filed complaints about the falsification of official information for the development project. The Yucatan Peninsula has 55% of the mangroves in the country, and half of them have already been destroyed, say many activists. The project named Fontour, developed by the National Tourism Fund, wants to create a 58-hectare commercial and residential development in Cancun. Activists say that they will fight to preserve this national treasure against multinational corporations, and that the government and the government officials who want to destroy it. Now, in honor of the interview with members of the CIW, we want to discuss environmental degradation and how it affects the indigenous communities that inhabit those ecosystems. Now, we present the music of Dr. Tsutu Baktu Kambin with collaboration of Dr. Sativo and MCHE from the Nation of the Mayan People in Guatemala. They're speaking a song. They're speaking in Spanish and a Mayan language called Tutsuyil. Now, Dr. Tutsu Baktunkan is a singer, activist, and painter who works to defend the rights of indigenous communities. He uses acoustic sounds, hip-hop beats, Spanish, and the Mayan language to represent how those influences affected the indigenous populations. So please enjoy the song. It talks about environmental degradation and how it affects those communities, and you can now listen to it, and we'll talk a little bit more about it after the song. So while they get the song up, we wanted to showcase this artist because he represents a movement of indigenous youth who are trying to show that indigenous music is a lived experience. It's not only world music that belongs in a museum. They use different musical influences and lyrics to assert their position and culture, but they also use music as a way to celebrate their ancestors and support social activism. The song definitely represents Latin America and its indigenous communities. We hope you enjoy it. As we are having some technical difficulties, we are excited to showcase the song. Yes, Dr. Sativo.
Lago Negro, muere la diversidad, el eslabón de oro en tu cuello la mata. El petróleo acaba con la vida de tantas especies, todo a costa de unos intereses. Lago Negro, muere la diversidad, el eslabón de oro en tu cuello la mata. El petróleo acaba con la vida de tantas especies, todo a costa de unos intereses.
Intereses. Guatemala no es mala, es bella, aunque en ella avionetas de coca se estrellan, que rayan selvas enteras allá en Petén.
Jardín del Edén,
contra frutas ponen retén. Estén o no estén esas frutas prohibidas, ya ni miran ni buscan sustancias nocivas. Pase lo que pase,
digan lo que digan,
ya sabemos que extirpan petróleo en Laguna del Tigre. Sin timbre de impuesto, protestamos porque somos libres. Siempre lo que decimos lo tenemos en manifiesto. Son pensamientos entre la jungla y el cemento.
Ajá, yo, Lago Negro, muere la diversidad, el eslabón de oro en tu cuello la mata. El petróleo acaba con la vida de tantas especies, toma costa de unos intereses.
Ay, oh.
Lago Negro, muere la diversidad, el eslabón de oro en tu cuello la mata. El petróleo acaba con la vida de tantas especies, todo a costa de unos intereses.
Ay, oh.
Dice, sigo secuestrando el micrófono para que empiece ya esta historia que llevo en mi memoria. Cuando yo era niño y en mi casa hablaban todos de su gloria. Su majestad Cristóbal Colón es un culero. Ade de Malagüero, vino a hacerse rico a costa de todo lo nuestro. No más,
queremos paz.
Ey yo, entonces se lo decimos al mundo entero. ¡Boom! ¡Falla! Lago Negro, muere la diversidad, el eslabón de oro en su cuello la mata. El petróleo acaba con la vida de tantas especies, todo a costa de unos intereses.
Ey yo,
Lago Negro, muere la diversidad, el eslabón de oro en su cuello la mata. El petróleo acaba con la vida de tantas especies. Todo a costa de unos intereses, su tubatuca.
Y bueno, el kick hasta hockey, yo juego, que está joven con chiricho, hasta chic. Más yo gesto viva, rojo, mir, chegue, y bueno, el kick hasta hockey, yo juego. Que está joven, mir, chegue, y bueno, el mofinca, buena, que mir, chegue, y bueno, el. Parisco, que buena, que parisco, y bueno, el jalech, jal, mautsta, que en que dos, chegue, y bueno, el. Cholak li samak te khagu tu chike bechli epernak li chegwe igono khat bena khe baris ko gwe gwe nakhi baris ko gwe igono khat ki shakha wa ki kasta ho ki jagata ho
Ayo, entonces lo decimos así. Boom, fire, achilam, fire, achilam, balam. Así que fue aquí.
Achilam, balam, en Bashkam, bib. Achilam, balam,
estaba escrito allí.
Achilam, balam,
así fue Bashkam, bib.
Achilam, balam,
en el lago Yatitlán.
Achilam, balam, en Bashkam, bib.
Achilam, balam.
Bashkam, bib, charikati, jamama, que me lo tona.
Este es un mensaje para el mundo entero, pa' que lo sepan. Aquí llegaron, ya lo saben, desde el lago de Atitlán. Pa' que lo dejen de contaminar. Ya se va a sanar, ya se va a sanar, ya se va a sanar. Hey yo, ya se va a sanar, ya se va a sanar, ya se va a sanar. Tenemos que dejar de contaminar. Ya se va a sanar,
ya se va a sanar,
ya se va a sanar. Paremos de contaminar.
Ya se va a sanar,
ya se va a sanar, ya se va a sanar. Así lo vamos a tocar.
Ya se va a sanar,
ya se va a sanar, ya se va a sanar. Decimos otra vez, carnal.
Ya se va a sanar,
ya se va a sanar, ya se va a sanar. Ayo, achilambalam, falla. Boom, achilambalam.
So we hope that you enjoyed that song. It comes from Guatemala. Now we bring you an event that is going to be happening in Sarasota. It's called the Aztec Two-Step Peace Center Benefit. The Aztec Two-Step Peace Center Benefit will be held on Friday, February 19th of 2006, of course, 16, at 8 p.m. at 525 Kumquat Court in Sarasota, Florida. Rex Flower and Neil Shulman have spent a lifetime making music together as the folk rock duo Aztec Two-Step. Rex and Neil continue to impress audiences with intelligent songwriting, dazzling acoustic lead guitar, and soaring two-part harmonics. The duo has performed worldwide and appeared on numerous radio and TV shows. This is a benefit for the Sarasota Peace Center. More information at sarasotapeacecenter.org and forgertyville.org. So now we go on to our next story, and Paula is going to present it.
Today we're going to talk about the Zika virus again. We spoke about it briefly in the last show, and it's a very important issue that we probably should go over again. The Zika virus epidemic is sparking a heated debate across the Latin American sphere about women's reproductive rights. The governments of El Salvador and various other Latin American countries, such as Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, and even Jamaica, have advised that women hold off getting pregnant. El Salvador went as far as to urge women to hold back on having children until 2018. These suggestions are in direct response to the outbreak of Zika, a mosquito-borne virus associated with serious brain damage in newborns. This virus came to the Americas in 2015, hitting Brazil first, and has so far spread to more than 20 countries in the Americas. Reproductive rights activists are outraged that the Salvadorian government would make this recommendation in a country where women have no legal options to terminate a pregnancy if they are concerned about birth defects. This is due to the law recognizing a fetus as a human being from the moment of conception. At Ilopango Prison for Women, there are 17 inmates who said they had miscarriages, but were accused by the courts of having abortions. They were sentenced for up to 40 years of aggravated homicide. Salvadoran law criminalizes abortion on all grounds, including when the mother's life or health is in danger, and in cases of rape, wrote Erika Guevara Rosas, America's director at Amnesty International, in a New York Times op-ed. Women and girls cannot access abortion even if continuing their pregnancy will kill them, or if their fetuses are not viable. This situation is not limited to El Salvador. The Honduran Supreme Court prohibits abortion and the morning after pill. Guatemalan law allows abortions only if the mother's health is at risk, but not in cases of rape. Every so often, this issue is raised in Salvadoran media. But Zika may be the watershed moment in how reproductive rights are perceived in the country and the entire region. The World Health Organization has deemed the Zika virus as an international epidemic. However, women have very little reproductive health information and tools, such as contraceptives, to prevent pregnancies. The information becomes more scarce for women living outside of major cities in Latin America, is detrimental for those specific populations.
Definitely. And, you know, as women in this country, it's important to understand our reproductive rights, and I hope various international organizations get to that level, you know, in Latin America, with giving information but also the tools to deal with this issue right now. So we move on to our next story with the cases in Guatemala. Paula, please present the story.
Two ex-military soldiers were put on trial on Monday, January 2nd, for human rights abuses against indigenous people during Guatemala's 36-year-old civil war. This is a trailblazing case for Guatemala because rape as a weapon of war has never been tried in the country. With the support of human rights and women's rights activists, various indigenous women and five male witnesses came forward to tell their stories in 2011. It took a lot of time for the case to finally come to the courts. Many of the women only speak a Mayan language, are in their 70s and 80s. Retired Colonel Estelmir Francisco Reyes Giron and Regional Commander Heriberto Valdez Asik are accused of killing or forcibly disappearing men from the northeastern village of Sepur Zarco. In a 10-month period between 1982 to 1983, they continued to force the indigenous women to work, cook, clean, and would systematically rape them. It is also confirmed that some women were held in bondage for 6 years until the military base, a base fighting against the leftist guerrilla movements, was closed in 1988. The women, along with five indigenous men allegedly tortured at the Sepur Zarco base, first sought legal recourse in 2011 for the crimes committed against them. The trial is to last 40 days. The defendants, who were jailed in June 2014, deny any wrongdoing. Guatemala's civil war lasted 36 years, and according to the UN, 83.3% of the victims of human rights violations were Mayan. Moving on to a more locally based story. 14 people were arrested while protesting the Georgia University ban on undocumented students. Undocumented students and activists in Georgia staged sit-ins at three state universities on Monday, calling for an end to policies they say unfairly deny undocumented students access to public higher education. Six students were arrested in the city of Athens for refusing to leave a building on the campus of the University of Georgia. Another eight students were arrested during protests at Georgia State University in Atlanta. The protests were organized by Freedom University, an Atlanta-based school for undocumented students modeled after the tuition-free Freedom Schools organized for African Americans in the segregated South during civil rights movements. Georgia is one of three states, together with Alabama and South Carolina, that deny admission to students without legal status. Undocumented citizens and students truly deserve the right to attend institutions of higher education here in Georgia, said Ashley Rivas Triana, a Freedom University student who was occupying a classroom at Georgia State University. We are citizens of this state, we pay taxes in this state, and we deserve to receive the same benefits as other citizens in the state. In a written statement from a spokesperson at the University of Georgia stated, the University of Georgia is a member of the University System of Georgia and abides by USG policy and state law, and that the arrest occurred due to police being concerned about possible disruption in the building at start of the university's workday. That was a statement from one of the spokespersons at the University of Georgia. Last January, nine students were arrested for refusing to leave a building after organizing that they called what they called the first ever integrated classroom for undocumented and documented students at the University of Georgia. Student activists have also repeatedly protested at Board of Regents meetings since the 2011 decision, leading to a number of arrests. Monday's protesters, around 90 in total, according to the organizers, wore hand-painted orange and black butterfly wings to symbolize their own migration to the United States and timed the sit-ins to coincide with the 56th anniversary of the student-led lunch counter sit-ins in Greensboro, North Carolina, that challenged racial segregation in the U.S. South. Rivas Triana, the student protester, emphasized that the demonstrators came from universities across the state and were comprised of both documented and undocumented students hoping to integrate the state's universities. I do have rights as a citizen of this country, whether the government wants to acknowledge them or not, she said. I do have rights as a human to speak out against inequalities.
Now, we bring you updates on the peace negotiations between FARC and the Colombian government. President Obama and President Santos met on February 5, 2015, to congratulate each other on the peace talks. Obama will seek $450 million from Congress in aid for Colombia. The aid program that started 15 years ago as Plan Colombia will end and Peace Colombia will start. Plan Colombia, a 15-year-old plan that cost about $10 billion for the U.S., was to fight insurgency and narcotraficantes in Colombia. The new plan called Peace Colombia will help the Colombian government build infrastructure, schools, healthcare facilities in rural areas as part of a transition to peace. In addition, the White House said that the joint research teams will work together to deal with the Zika virus and team up in demining efforts and also with the demilitarization of forces. Santos has also requested that FARC be removed from the terrorist list of the United States. Now, critics believe that Peace Colombia will be an extension of Plan Colombia. During Plan Colombia, a report released by the Fellowship on Reconciliation in 2010 stated that there was an increase of human rights violation, extrajudicial killings, large human displacement, and assassination of human rights defenders and union organizers. We have another report from The Economist and regional organizations that are bringing light to the conflicts between the extractive industries and indigenous communities in Peru. The mining and oil industries have killed at least 53 people in Peru since 2011. Fighting continues as an organization representing the indigenous communities of southern Peru filed a complaint against Petroperú for an oil spill that has damaged about 2.5 million miles of waterway.
Now on to a more positive light note. Today's show has been kind of somber and a little bit sad. But in other news, Residente, the lead singer of the Puerto Rican rap duo Calle 13, has voiced his support for Bernie Sanders. On February 3rd, my dad's birthday, happy birthday, Dad, Puerto Rican-born René Pérez Joglar, or Residente, tweeted, "For over 30 years, Bernie Sanders has been pleading for the hard workers and the lower classes of the USA. Calle 13 is well-known for developing a huge fan base with their lyrics about politics and the disenfranchised. This endorsement could help Sanders in states like Florida, where the amount of Puerto Ricans rival the amount in New York. Residente supports independence for Puerto Rico in the United States. Sanders has publicly supported bankruptcy measures for Puerto Rico, which is currently facing dire financial troubles. The share of Puerto Ricans living in poverty, 27%, is higher than the rate for the general U.S. population, which is 16%, and for Hispanics overall, which is 25%. We need to do everything we can to allow Puerto Rico to restructure its debt in a rational way that does not harm its people, ordinary investors, or pension funds in the United States. Chapter 9 protections would be a good first step," Sanders said last year. But we also should recognize that the reason Puerto Rico has such unsustainable debt has everything to do with the policies of austerity and the greed of large financial institutions, said Sanders.
Now we bring you another story from Mexico City, an inspiring story of women that are fighting against sexual harassment and the machista culture in Mexico. Now, a group of women in Mexico City known as Las Hijas de Violencia, or the Daughters of Violence, have decided to take a head-on approach to being catcalled. They stated that when we were walking down the streets and someone harasses us in any way, we run after the person. We grab our confetti guns and we shoot once, Ana Karen said. Now we turn on the speakers and we sing Sexista Punk. The lyrics call out men who feel that they have the liberty to touch women. The group hopes to encourage other women to also speak out, but they also suggest to have fun with it. Of course, this method of dealing with street harassers can be very dangerous and complicated, but Las Hijas de Violencia have inspired many other women all across the world. Now, the violence against women is a huge issue, and these women have decided to take a stand against sexual harassment in their native country. So hopefully in the next show or in some other show, we will have Las Hijas de Violencia speaking with us. We can get an interview from them.
Yeah, I've corresponded with them over email. They're very excited to join us. Stay tuned for that in the next coming week, months.
Yes.
We'll see.
Stay tuned. Now we bring you another artist called El Remolón, which he mixes modern sounds of electronica to the voices of Guarani children from the jungles of Las Misiones. The Guarani people are indigenous to Paraguay, Argentina, Uruguay, and southern Brazil and Bolivia. Now, through this track called La Bonita, we want to show the cultural diversity of indigenous communities of Latin America and how they're influencing alternative music in this world.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Thank you.
Hello, Silvia Perez and Marley Moynihan. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Florida Caribe Show.
Gracias por estar con nosotros. De nada. You're welcome. Thank you.
Just a little heads up for the listeners. We have Silvia Perez and translator Marley Moynihan from the Coalition of Immokalee Farm Workers.
Now, we have a couple of questions for you guys. Thank you so much for being here with us. Now, what is the objective of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, and how does your involvement with this organization begin?
Okay, cuando yo empecé en la coalición es participando en la Junta de Mujeres los domingos. So I first began to be involved with the coalition, participating in the weekly women's group meeting.
And can you discuss how Silvia's job and other farm workers, how did they start working on the field as farm workers and the conditions that they were confronted with?
¿Qué fueron las condiciones que se enfrentaron en los campos? Cuando antes, cuando no había este cambio que se está pasando hoy en día, antes los campos se enfrentaba como muchos abusos contra las mujeres o también contra los trabajadores también, que en veces ellos no había esa manera como se podían defender.
So before the changes that are taking place today really got started, back when I first started working in the fields, there were many types of abuses in the fields. There were abuses especially that women faced and also workers more broadly, and there was no way for someone to defend themselves.
And what type of changes do you see now with all the work that CIW has done in the community?
¿Qué son los cambios que se están viendo ahorita contra el trabajo que la coalición ha hecho? Ahorita los cambios desde el 2010 para adelante, pues los cambios ahora se está viendo un cambio muy grande con los trabajadores. Antes el trabajador no podía reportar el problema, no podía hablar. Si el trabajador hablaba, era despedido del trabajo. Pero hoy en día, con este cambio nuevo, vamos a explicarles un poquito.
So, since 2010, things have really begun to change in the field. Before, workers had no way, whatever the type of problem was, they had no way to report that problem, to find a solution to what they were facing. But now things have really begun to change, and we want to explain a little bit about some of those changes.
Okay, so can we talk about the changes that we are seeing on the fields right now?
Mm-hmm. So, ¿qué son los cambios que estamos viendo y cómo llegábamos ahí? Los cambios que se está viendo ahorita, los trabajadores tienen esa voz de reportar el problema en el trabajo y también eliminar los abusos que antes los trabajadores enfrentaban, eliminar el acoso sexual con las mujeres en el trabajo.
And so now we have a system in which workers actually have a complaint line and a method in a manner in which they can report abuses. And as a result of this program that we've implemented, we are eliminating entirely some of the worst abuses that we used to see, such as sexual abuse and other egregious labor abuses.
Okay. Now, how does these type of issues and how does the Coalition of Immokalee Workers focus on them? Can we discuss how indigenous communities, you know, and marginalized identities are working together to improve the rights of these groups in the United States?
Okay, la coalición ha empezado a trabajar desde el 90 para arriba con trabajadores del campo, con mismos trabajadores del campo de Guatemala y de México, de Haití. Se empezó esto para eliminar los abusos que antes existía mucho en el trabajo.
And so just to give a little bit of background, we started organizing in the early 90s. So the coalition started from the ground up as the many different communities of workers getting together, workers from Mexico, from Guatemala, and from Haiti, to confront together the abuses that all workers were facing in the fields at that time.
Y también en el 2001 también se lanzó la campaña por comida justa, también se lanzó la campaña con las corporaciones de comida rápida para que ellos también tuvieran ese código de conducta para trabajar con los trabajadores.
And then in 2001, farm workers launched the Campaign for Fair Food, which is working with consumers across the country to bring about these large-scale corporate campaigns so that the buyers at the top of the supply chain would take responsibility for the conditions in the field.
¿Y el programa ahora? Y el programa ahorita, pues ahorita está funcionando el programa en los campos con los trabajadores.
Ahorita los trabajadores tienen un librito que fue hecho también por lo mismo nosotros como trabajadores, donde ellos tienen el derecho de reportar cualquier abuso que enfrentan en el trabajo.
And so now, through that campaign, we've won the Fair Food Program, which is in which workers are educated on their rights. They receive a booklet and in-person education from fellow workers. And also have their, you know, when they're able to report abuses, those abuses actually get addressed and fixed. And there's actually a code of conduct that that lays those out. And all of that is backed up. So that was what we've won through the campaign for Fair Food.
So now that you mentioned the Fair Food Program, how were the living standards of the workers different before the FFP, and how have their lives changed since? Like, how much of a change has the Fair Food Program made in the lives of these workers? Marley, can you hear us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. I was just translating on mute. Thanks for y'all's patience.
Ahorita la vida de un trabajador ha cambiado mucho porque los mismos trabajadores vienen a veces a platicar aquí a decir que ahora ellos se sienten bien a gusto trabajando porque ahora el trabajador tiene derecho a tener agua en la labor, a derecho de una sombra, a derecho de tener un baño limpio, derecho de tener agua en el trabajo.
And so the lives of workers, the daily lives of workers, have changed dramatically as a result of this program. You know, we have worker members who will come by and just say, you know, the change has been absolutely incredible. Now I can actually work a gusto or work comfortably. You know, and that ranges not only from the changes that we've already mentioned, but also just on a daily basis, workers now have the right to have water in the field, to have shade in the field, to have clean bathrooms, to just overall to have better health and safety conditions as well.
Hearing this is very interesting because you'd think something as common as shade, water, and clean bathrooms would be very instrumental to any working situation, and I think it's amazing that the Fair Food Program was able to. It's amazing, but also kind of sad that the Fair Food Program was needed to improve the living standards of workers, which is important, you know.
And can we also go a little bit into the other initiatives that the CIW is involved in?
The other initiatives in addition to the Fair Food Program are more in the Campaign for Fair Food, just to clarify.
Yes.
Entonces, en la campaña también, y como qué tipo, qué otro trabajo estamos involucrados ahorita. Ahorita estamos como también en la campaña por comida justa también, presionando las corporaciones que todavía ellos no son parte del programa con comida justa. Tenemos la campaña aquí en el estado de la Florida con Publix. A nivel nacional tenemos la campaña con Wendy's también, que tenemos ya muchos años presionándolos a ellos, y ellos no quieren ser parte del programa.
And so in addition to the Fair Food Program, we still are continuing to have the Campaign for Fair Food. So which is to say we're trying to get an additional corporate buyers and retailers who have so far refused to be a part of the Fair Food Program to come on board. And so here in Florida, we have a campaign against Publix, who has for many years refused to be a part of these changes. And then also on a national level, have a campaign with Wendy's, which is the only major fast food company that's not supporting these changes still. And so we're, you know, still continuing to put pressure on them in partnership with consumers in order to bring them on board.
I understand. Now, what is the importance of a movement that is run by workers? What does worker leadership look like for CIW?
El liderazgo, ¿qué hacen los trabajadores? ¿Cómo son líderes en este movimiento?
Pues participando también. Participando en las acciones que hacemos, se hacen muchas protestas, cada año también se hace una acción grande, entonces para este año 2016 tenemos una gira en diferentes estados que se va a estar presionando a Wendy's hasta allá donde está pues la sede central de Wendy's.
And so the workers on the Campaign for Fair Food level participate in all of our major actions and our leaders in our actions. So, for example, not only do we have our protest here in Florida, but also we always have a major action in the spring. This year, 2016, we are going to have a tour across the country that will be that our members are will be principally going on and meeting up with consumers, and we'll be going all the way to the actually to the headquarters of Wendy's, you know, on this tour.
¿Y en el programa? Dentro del programa, ¿cómo es el liderazgo de la de los trabajadores? En el
So, what?
Okay. También, cuando empezó este programa, también se han recibido con muchas quejas. Hay unos números de teléfono donde son unos números de teléfonos gratis para que ellos llaman. Y también hay otro grupo que se llama el Consejo por Comida Justa. También ellos reciben las llamadas de los trabajadores y ellos son también los que se encargan de investigar el problema donde si están las compañías donde el trabajador anda trabajando.
And so then within the Fair Food Program, looking at worker leadership, you know, workers are the principal monitors of this program. So they, you know, when we first started in particular and still today, workers are the main folks who monitor and report those abuses when they happen. Those calls are received and addressed by a third-party monitoring body called the Fair Food Standards Council, who takes those complaints and then finds a solution for them as well.
Y hay los comités de salud y seguridad, ¿verdad? Por ejemplo. Y también en el trabajo, también los mismos trabajadores se han organizado de juntar un grupo de comité para que ese comité se encarga de investigar los problemas que existen en el trabajo, pero son los mismos trabajadores, los mismos fiscadores que se juntan una vez al mes para solucionar el problema que enfrenten ahí los otros trabajadores en el trabajo.
And then also within the companies themselves, as a part of the Fair Food Program, all farms are required to have a worker group called the Health and Safety Committee. And these committees that are only qualifying workers, only harvesters, get together every month to monitor and examine the health and safety conditions on a farm. They'll meet with farm management to communicate recommendations for how to improve health and safety on the farm. And so there's all of that as well.
In light of all the things that the Fair Food Program has done, what work can still be done to keep the FFP moving and expanding?
Para expandir esos cambios, ¿qué falta que hacer? ¿O qué es el futuro del programa? El futuro del programa es seguir todavía trabajando con muchos. También todavía hay vegetales que todavía hay trabajadores que todavía no tienen ese derecho de tener sombra, de tener agua, de tener baño. Sabemos que aquí pues, en el estado de la Florida hay muchos vegetales de diferentes como la fresa, en el chile, pues otros vegetales pequeños. Todavía también falta mucho por trabajar con ellos.
Well, the future of the program will really be expanding beyond Florida tomatoes, which is where it exists right now. You know, we know that in the state of Florida and in other states as well, there are still many, many farm workers that don't have these basic rights that we have. And so we know that especially, you know, Florida has a lot of different vegetables and products, including peppers, including strawberries, and it also states beyond it. So I think there's so much work left to be done to expand these changes to other places.
Y que hemos expandido ya, ¿verdad? Sí, ahorita se está también empezando a trabajar con la fresa y con el chile también, pero todavía pues hay mucho, no solo una compañía que planta la fresa, hay muchas compañías que son de diferentes también agricultores de fresa, entonces hay que empezar a trabajar todo junto con ellos.
And so we know that not only, you know, we've actually already started expanding to new crops. We've been doing, we've piloted programs with a couple of farmers that are growing peppers and that are growing strawberries, but we know that they aren't the only ones. There are many, many other farmers in those products and in others that, and it's time for all of us to start working together to implement this program.
And how can the community, the general community, I know I go to New College of Florida and there's a very big voice for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers there. How can we get more involved as a community and just how can we help? How can we do things? And what are some events we can attend? I know you already mentioned
the march.
So what else is there for us to do, for us to help?
¿Cómo podemos ayudar? Okay, la gira va a estar empezando como el 2 de marzo y terminaría el 12, pero también se va a estar haciendo una acción grande aquí en Palm Beach, que también es allí en un lugar donde también, ¿qué es lo que vive?
Es el
Ajá, entonces tú le menciones en inglés, ¿por qué no? Pero vamos a estar haciendo esa acción. Entonces lo que queremos también es la participación de los estudiantes, tenemos participación de la gente de diferentes iglesias, para presionarla a ellos. Entonces no nomás solo los trabajadores están solos, tenemos apoyo de diferentes organizaciones también y de estudiantes.
And so definitely the biggest and next thing is to join us, not even on the whole tour, but there's actually the tour ends with a major action in Florida, in Palm Beach, and there will be caravans heading there. It will be ending at the vacation home of Nelson Peltz, who is Wendy's board chairman and has major decision-making power for that company. And so we absolutely need the most support possible for that weekend. Of getting out students. We have, you know, and it's interesting, it's even more than students. We have, consumers ranging from people of faith to community groups to young people all over the country. And we need, we need that support in these actions to send a strong message that it's not just workers who are demanding this, but consumers as well.
Y también hay, durante el año hay presentaciones, o pueden venir en Moscale, ¿verdad? Entonces también durante todo el año también aquí en la oficina vienen a visitar también muchos estudiantes que vienen de diferentes partes. Se les explica una hora de presentación para que ellos también vengan a ver aquí la realidad, cómo es donde el trabajador vive o en qué lugares donde ellos pues se producen mucho tomate.
And then also just throughout the year there's opportunities for students and others to get more involved and to learn more and to we do presentations in universities and churches and all kinds of places, but also we invite everyone to come to Immokalee to really see the reality that workers are facing and to learn more about the organization, to come to our community center. We invite and welcome many, many, many students all throughout the year. And so we invite everyone to come down here and learn more. And from there, there's many ways to get more involved.
Very interesting. And where can I direct somebody to go for more information? A website, phone number?
So the best place to get more information about the CIW is, of course, the coalition's website, which is ciw-online.org. And then there's also the broader organization of consumer allies, because, of course, the CIW is a farm worker-led organization. And so there's a separate ally group that's there to support workers and follow the workers' lead, and that's the Alliance for Fair Food, who coordinates with consumers across the country in this. And so that's also allianceforfairfood.org. And there's all kinds of ways to take action, even immediately. There's manager letters that you can take in that are available as resources, and as well as more information about the upcoming actions that we have.
Well, thank you very much, Silvia and Marley, for joining us.
Muchísimas gracias, de verdad. Now we're going to let them go and move on with our show. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
For more information, go to ciw-online.org or allianceforfairfood.org. Thank you again. Have a great day.
Now we're going to play a song by Mercedes Sosa. She's an Argentine singer, and she's very popular in the folk music scene. I hope you enjoy the song. It's called Solo Le Pido a Dios.
Vamos a cantar todo junto. Gracias.
Ahora lo va a cantar todo.
Todo junto, por favor. Gracias. Muchas gracias.
Yeah. más que una garra me harán esgacerte. Solo le pido a Dios en la guerra no me sea indiferente. Es un monstruo grande y quizá fuerte.
We have a quick PSA for you. Community Contra Dance, now on Sundays, a special Valentine's Day Community Contra Dance at Fogartyville Community Media and Arts Center on Sunday, February 14th, 2016 at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome, from experienced dancers to dancing newbies. There will be an instructional walkthroughs starting at 6 p.m. with regular dancing at 6:30 p.m. Music by Turns at Tide with Rona Weiner as our caller. On Sunday, February 14th, 2016, at 6 p.m. at Fogartyville Community Media and Arts Center, 525 Kumqua Court. Kids under 12 are free. Students are half price. For tickets, visit WSLR.org. Now we have a quick story about a Houston chef who was detained at an immigration center in Houston, Texas. He was mistakenly held at an immigration detention center for 2 months after returning from a honeymoon. David Rodriguez, the head chef at Tout Sweet Cafe in Houston, was held for 78 days due to government error. Rodriguez was born in Mexico but has been a permanent citizen of the U.S. since the age of 12. After returning to Miami International Airport from his honeymoon from Belize, he was detained due to his record, saying that he had been convicted of a felony assault 5 years ago. This is a deportable offense. In reality, Rodriguez had not been convicted. In 2010, a man who appeared to be intoxicated threatened to harm David's wife, so he grabbed a baseball bat and hit the man in self-defense. Eventually, this charge was dropped to a misdemeanor, which he pled guilty to. After being detained at the Miami International Airport, His green card was taken away, and he was told to go to a Houston detention center to retrieve it. When he arrived, he was arrested and was held there for 78 days, only being let out of his cell for 1 hour a day. This provided him with an intimate look at the United States immigration system. Though Rodriguez has lived in the U.S. for 19 years, he was considered an arriving alien and therefore was not eligible for bond. David was released on January 21st and may take legal action, but is more interested in making sure that this does not happen to anyone else. And lastly, to end the show, we have a song by Calle 13 called La Perla. In this song, he features Ruben Blades, very famous Latin American singer. And the song is just a general overlook at a very famous barrio in Puerto Rico
called La Perla. Enjoy.
Ocho, dile a Johanna que me haga un arroz con habichuela bien duro. Hey. Un saludito a Josian, lo cogemos bajando. ¿Y tú? ¿Qué estás mirando? Yo tengo actitud desde los 5 años. Mi mai me la creó con tapaboca y regaño. Desde chiquito canito con el pelo castaño. Soy la oveja negra de todo el rebaño. Y fui creciendo poquito a poco. Brincando de techo en techo, tumbando coco. Y aunque casi me mato y casi me cocoto, nunca me vieron llorando ni botando moco. Siempre perfumado y bien peinadito. Pa' buscarme una novia con un apellido bonito. Larita, mi primer beso de amor. Se casó la bruja, lluvia con sol.
Allá abajo en el hueco, en el boquete, nacen flores por ramillete. Casita de colores con la ventana abierta, vecina de la playa, puerta con puerta. Aquí yo tengo de todo, no me falta nada. Tengo la noche que me sirve de sábana.
Tengo los mejores paisajes del cielo. Tengo una neverita repleta de cerveza con hielo. Un arco iris con sabor a piragua. Gente bonita rodeada por agua. Los difuntos pintados en la pared con aerosol. Y los que quedan jugando basquetbol. Un par de gringos que me dañan el paisaje. Vienen tirando fotos desde el aterrizaje. La policía que se tira sin pena. Rompiendo mi casa para cobrar la quincena. Aquí nació mi mai y hasta mi bisabuela está en mi barrio. Yo soy libre como Mandela. Cuidado con la vieja escuela. Que no te coja. Que te va a meter con chancleta y palos de escoba. Así que no te me ponga majadero, porque yo vengo con apetito de obrero a comerme a cualquiera que venga a robarme lo mío. Yo soy el Napoleón del caserío. Oye, esto se lo dedico a los que trabajan con un sueldo bajito para darle de comer a sus pollitos. Yo quiero a mi barrio como Tito quiere a Caimito. Yo no lucho por un terreno pavimentado, ni por metros cuadrados, ni por un sueño dorado. Yo lucho por un paisaje bien perfumado y por un buen plato de bistec encebollado. Por la sonrisa de mi madre que vale 1 millón. Lucho por mi abuela meciéndose en su sillón. Lucho por unos pinchos al carbón y por lo bonito que se ve la perla desde un avión. Oye, dile.
Allá abajo en el hueco, en el boquete, nacen flores por ramillete. Casita de colores con la ventana abierta, vecina de la playa, puerta con puerta. Aquí yo tengo de todo, no me falta nada. Tengo la noche que me sirve de sábana.
Tengo los mejores paisajes del cielo. Tengo una neverita repleta de cerveza con hielo.
Esa risa en la perla, la escucho en el chorrillo. Y de Tepito hasta el Callao y donde sea que hayan chiquillos, creo en barrio con madres que vivieron iguales razones y al final se murieron sin tener vacaciones. Como decía mi abuela, así fue la baraja en casa del pobre. Hasta el que feto trabaja, por eso el barrio eterno, también universal. Y el que se mete con mi barrio, me cae mal.
La noche me sirve de sábana.
Veo las luces de la perla desde Panamá.
La noche me sirve de sábana.
Brillando en clave morse y me invitan para allá.
La noche me sirve de
sábana. Un camino hecho de estrellas, semáforo la luna.
La noche me sirve de sábana.
Salí a las 7:30 y voy llegando a la 1.
La noche me sirve de sábana.
El hombre bueno, no teme, no teme a la oscuridad.
Thank you for listening. That was the Florida Caribe Show. I'm Paola Baez.
And I'm Jarena Jerji.
And a quick shout out to our sound engineer, John Dickman. He's part of the Florida Caribe Show. You don't hear him, but he's there. So thank you so much. And
have a
wonderful week, everybody.
Bye.